Okay, today will be the last lesson in the series that we're presently doing in terms of how are we saved. But just to give you a heads up, next Sunday we will begin a new series of lessons in a study on the church. We'll be looking at all kinds of different aspects of the church. What is the church and us being a part of that church and why it's important and all of those kinds of different aspects. That will be our next series of lessons. So that's where we are going with that, okay? So in this last lesson this morning, all right, in this series we've been talking about how are we saved. And as I've been saying all along, as we began this, we were looking at the story of the Philippian jailer and his conversion to Christ. When the earthquake occurred and the jail doors opened and he was afraid that all of the prisoners might have escaped, he was ready to take his life, and Paul stopped him and said they were all there, and realizing what had taken place, he said to them, "What must I do to be saved?" And so people today are still asking that very same question, "What must I do to be saved?" Unfortunately, a lot of people are being given the wrong answer. Okay? They're being taught wrong, and oftentimes, I guess I would best say, incompletely. Okay, and so there are a lot of people who have been taught this particular message. All you have to do is believe in God, and you will be saved. Well, we know that is not enough. Okay. There are a lot of different things that are involved in our being saved. In answer to the question, how are we saved, there's a lot more to it than any one thing. And not only that, but we have to be careful that we don't, and we have done this in a lot of ways, kind of reduced how to be saved into a step program. And as I've been mentioning, it's like, you know, we go through these different steps. When we get to the top of the steps, then we're saved and everything's okay. But that is an incomplete concept in trying to teach people how to be saved. There is more to it than that. Okay? So how are we saved? What we're doing in this study, we've been looking at the role, and that's the important word here, the role that all of these various things play in our salvation. Okay? Realizing that all of those things are vitally important to us being saved. And none of them is more important than any of the others. It's not good to emphasize one thing over another. We have to understand and realize that all of them are important. One of the things that helps with that is for us to understand and go back and look at how did first century people understand these concepts and these words and how they applied to their being saved and so forth. What was it that they believed and understood from it? And I think that part of the problem today in people teaching these things is that they don't understand the concepts that they understood in the first century, so they're not teaching them properly. And that's why it's so easy for people today to pick one thing over another. You say, well, you've got a lot of folks who emphasize faith only, and you got those of us who have been emphasizing baptism. We've got to get them baptized. But there's so much more to it, you see. So what must I do to be saved? That's the real question. And today in this final lesson, we're going to be talking about the role of obedience. Okay? The role of obedience to our being saved. We start out with talking about Lord, Lord. Okay? We saw earlier in our study in Romans chapter 10 that the Apostle Paul wrote that if you confess with your mouth, that's one of the things that's involved in our being saved, right? We talked about that earlier. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe, that's another thing that we studied in terms of the role of belief in our being saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But I want to zero in on the part that he says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Okay? Remember when we talked about that, okay? What we had said is the understanding of those people in the first century was if you call someone your Lord, then what you are doing is putting yourself under their authority or under their lordship. Okay? So it's not just a matter of just using the words and saying, you know, Lord, Lord. It is an understanding that this person has authority over my life. They are my Lord and Master. Okay? So it is a matter then of submitting to Christ's lordship. When we call him Lord, we are submitting ourselves to his lordship and to obey him as Lord. All right? In Luke chapter 6, Jesus addressed the problem that he was experiencing with people who were calling him their Lord. Okay? And he said to them, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to?" Okay? So people who were saying, "Yes, Jesus is my Lord," but they weren't obeying him. Okay? If one is not willing to obey him, then Jesus is not their Lord. It's that simple. Because obedience cannot be separated from lordship. Now, Jesus, after making that statement, he went on to tell the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Okay? And in that parable, notice that what he says, okay, is the one who hears my words and puts them into practice or obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came and the floods came, and that house stood because it had a solid foundation. But the one, he says, who hears my word and does not put them into practice or does not obey them, he said, is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the house fell because it did not have a solid foundation. So you see, the foundation, according to this parable, the foundation for serving Jesus as Lord is obedience. It is doing what he says to do. Okay? And if we do it, we have a solid foundation in obedience to him. If we disobey him, we refuse to obey him as Lord, even though we may call him Lord, then the foundation is not solid. And when the storms come, we're going to have problems. Right? In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So again, here it is. Lord, Lord, and obedience. Doing his will. Okay? He goes on to say, "Many will say to me on that day," and the day that he's referring to is the judgment day. Okay? "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name do many miracles or many wonderful works," some translations say. So just because they call him Lord, Lord, that is not enough. Okay? Just because even they prophesied, or because they cast out demons, or they did many wonderful works or miracles, is not enough. Notice what he says. "Then I will declare to them," that is those who are calling him their Lord, but not doing what he says, he will say, I never knew you. Now think about that for just a moment and realize that here is someone who is saying, Jesus is my Lord. And that Lord saying, no, you're not your Lord. I don't even know who you are. Because you are not doing what I've told you to do. And then notice also what he says. You who practice lawlessness. So what Jesus is saying here is associating disobedience with lawlessness. That's what it is. You say. So we cannot say and claim that Jesus is our Lord and put ourselves under his lordship and then refuse to obey him. And expect, then, here's the real key to it, expect to be saved. He will say, I don't know who you are. And that's how important, that's how vital our obedience is to our salvation. We cannot be saved without it. Okay? In the story in 1 Samuel of Saul, the king, disobeying God and his commands to go and to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and Samuel approached him and confronted him with his disobedience, and of course Saul, you know, he professed his obedience. I did what God told me to do. And Samuel's response to him was this: Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, you know, Saul's claiming, well, we kept all these cows and the cattle and the sheep so we could offer a sacrifice to God. And he says, no. The Lord doesn't delight in that as much as he does obedience. Look at what he says. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God wants and he demands our obedience to him. Amen. Okay? Whatever excuse we can come up with for not obeying him, even trying to honor God like Saul did and like Jesus is referring to those in Matthew 7 who say, yeah, I've done this, I've done that. He said, I want you to obey me. Do what I tell you to do. See? Now let's talk about a concept that goes hand in hand with this whole idea of obedience and living in obedience to God. It's what I refer to as because of versus in order to. And this is the issue about why are we doing what we are doing? Why are we obeying Christ and following his will? Okay? It really does make a difference as to why we are doing it. Are we saved? And here's part of that question. Are we saved by faith or by works? Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, part of what was read for us as we began this morning, that he makes it very clear. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we are, as we saw last week in our study, we are saved by grace, not by our works. Okay, but then someone says, well, but then why do we have to do all this work? Okay, well, as again we read in the passage that this morning as we began, because we are doing works that God created for us in advance to do. Okay, but in doing those works, are we working for salvation or are we working because we are saved? That's really the real question. What is our motivation, in other words, for doing God's will, for obeying him? Okay? If we do what God tells us to do in order to be saved, that will not work. Okay? Because we cannot do enough work to earn our salvation. We can't do enough work. We can't obey him enough in order to make it a point where God owes us salvation. Okay? If we do it because of our salvation, or in other words, because we are saved, we're living in obedience to Him and doing what He tells us to do, then that work is to His glory, not to our credit. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then the question becomes, what motivates you? Is it because you are saved that you are striving to live in obedience to Him, or are you doing it in order to get saved? It does make a big difference. And finally, let's talk about receiving His gift of grace, because that's what it's all about. And so from this part, hopefully we'll help you to see how grace and obedience go hand in hand. All right? So I've used this illustration in the past before, so those of you who have experienced it, work with me on it, okay? For those of you who have not, I need for you to prepare yourself to receive $1 million. Does that sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound good to everybody? Okay, anybody not want $1 million? Okay, I don't see any hands up, so everybody's greedy. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so I need you to prepare yourself to receive $1 million, and I need for you in this illustration to use your imagination, just really, really wild here, okay? Because what I'm going to do, I want you to just imagine that I can give each and every one of you here, and in, those of you online also, okay, I've got that much, all right? That I can give every single one of you $1 million. How's that sound?
Great.
Sound great? Okay. Everybody willing? Everybody want $1 million? Okay.
Great.
All right. So here's what I need for you to do in order for me to give you your $1 million. Okay? First of all, I need for you to meet me at the BSV Bank. Now, that's the one that's right down here on the other side of the traffic circle, okay? At 26008 Cox Road at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And if you show up at that bank at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I will give you $1 million. How's that sound? Sounding good? Okay. Everybody with me on that so far? Okay. If you don't follow my instructions, then you will not receive the gift.
Amen.
Okay? I've given some very specific instructions. And if you do not follow those instructions, you won't get the gift. All right? So if you show up in the wrong place, for instance, all right? Because you need to understand, there are 15 branches of BSV in this area. Okay? 15 of them. So, did I just say go to the BSV bank?
No.
No, I was very specific, wasn't I? Go to the branch that's right here on Cox Road on the other side of the traffic circle. Now, there's a BBT bank that's right at the traffic circle. Okay? Can you go to that one and get your $1 million?
No.
Nope. Can you go to another BSV branch?
No.
You know, y'all live in Colonial Heights. There's one right by it. It's 2 seconds from your house. So if y'all go there tomorrow morning, you going to get your money? Nope, not going to happen. Why? Because I'm going to be at this branch right over here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Okay? Now, also, what if you're late? You going to be there too? All right. What if you're late?
Uh-uh.
You see? Again, I said 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, right? And everybody who's there at 9 o'clock will be let in, and you'll get your money. But if you're late, the doors are going to be closed, and you won't be allowed in, and you won't get your money. Okay? Very simple instructions, but specific, right?
Amen.
Okay, so here's the key. If you follow my instructions, you will receive the gift. Okay? If you don't follow them, you won't be there. And you won't get the gift. Okay? Now, understand these things about this. You do not in any way, shape, or form deserve this gift.
Amen.
I mean, does anybody here think? I mean, raise your hand if you think you deserve for me to give you $1 million. Anybody?
Liar.
She does. Well, she probably does, okay? All right? But you don't deserve this gift, okay? In other words, I'm not giving you this gift because you're good, okay? I'm giving it to you because I'm good. Isn't that nice of me?
Amen.
You see? I've got all this blessing, and I just want to share it with people. I'm just such a good person. I want to share these things with other people. Okay? And the other thing is, you have done nothing to earn this gift. All right? You simply obeyed my instructions in order to receive it. That's all you've done. Okay? You haven't worked for it. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. It's a gift. But in order to receive that gift, you've got to follow the instructions. To put yourself in the position to receive that gift. This is how obedience and grace work together. The gift is a gift of grace. And it's not because we deserve it or because we're good people. It is because God is good. And He chooses to give us the richest blessings there is. That's salvation.
Amen.
But in order for us to receive that gift, we have to follow His instructions. We have to obey His word. And in doing so, we are putting ourselves in the position to receive that gift. Nothing more than that. You see? Again, that's how grace and obedience work together. And that's why both of them, as we talked about grace last week, and obedience today, are so vital to us being saved. You can believe in God. You can call upon His name to save you. You can confess Him as Lord. But if you do not obey His word as Lord of your life, you will not receive the gift of grace that He has offered. You can even, by the way, be baptized. Okay? Do all of those things we've talked about. But if you don't obey Him, you will not receive the gift. So, all of these things we've been talking about require, as we said each time, a response to God. And this one is quite simply, are you obeying His will in your life? Or if you haven't been, will you? Will you make the decision today to not only just call Him your Lord, but make Him Lord of your life and put your life into submission to Him? Living and doing His will. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And in just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing this song. And it's an opportunity for anyone. If you have a need that this church can help you with, you have a prayer request you would like for us to bring before the Lord, if there's someone here who's not yet given their life to Christ, and you can do that now, today. If you desire to become a Christian, will you repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism as you obey His word? You can do that right now, this morning. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to bring before the Lord, you can text either Dale or Wesley while we're singing this song. Their numbers will be on the screen. And give them your prayer request, and we will address that. And if there's someone out there who's not yet a Christian that desires to become one, you're ready to give your life to Christ, have Him be Lord of your life, you desire to be baptized into Christ, we can do that as soon as is possible with you. All you have to do is contact us and let us know, and we will make that happen for you as soon as possible. The Lord's invitation is open to all. Let's stand together and sing. Tom, come on up.